Okay, let's go.
All right, this is LA is our house. I'm here with, this is our episode 40. Oh my goodness, we're getting up there in age, guys. All right, this is with Lewis.
What's up, guys?
I'm David.
Hey, what's up?
And I'm Bobby, and we're back. From our last game, superhero Donovan, Landon Donovan. I can't believe he's not walking around with a cape after that last game.
Well, you know, his cape is still being made. I think they had to change the symbol, you know, from the 10 and the LD. They've got to add the 26 now. It's a whole process, dude. Capes aren't made in a day, or in about 20 minutes, which is about, you know, how long he's played on the field.
Well, let's talk about the game.
So,
what do you guys think?
So we played Kansas City. Gordo scores a goal early, and then we seem to have repeated the thing that we have been repeating lately, is they get two goals scored on them. The only difference this time is Landon Donovan comes in to pull one back after a chance of AARP were being shouted at him by the crowd, but he came back and pretty much shut them up, scoring his first goal back after his retirement.
I thought that was kind of I think it's a funny chant. I just think it's weird that of all people he would get it and not some other guy like Lampard or Gerrard or Cole, you know, or Cole or anyone else around the league that is at least 4 or 5 years older than he is. So, you know, but, you know, I'm glad he was able to. I mean, it's kind of like the relationship you have as a player, as a fan. You know, you know what this guy brought to the field.
Yeah,
you know,
totally out of respect.
Yeah, exactly. You know, his farewell tour. I mean, he got like the standing O's like in every stadium. As you know, just like the other greats in other sports, you know, Jordan got the same thing. Kobe got the same thing during Jeter during his, you know, their farewell tours, and they were hated everywhere that they went. So yes, it is a sign of respect. And Donovan just continues doing what he's always done and coming up with big goals and helping out a team that was pretty much sinking after Gordon's goal, because it almost seemed like once that goal was scored, it was like, you know what, let's just hang on for our lives for the rest of the game.
And we know that they can't do that this year.
Yeah.
They're incapable of doing that this year.
It's not even so much about being incapable. You shouldn't be implementing that strategy anyways. If you scored an early goal, good. And if you have control of the game, then why relinquish it? Why relinquish the midfield battle just because you got the one that, you know, that one goal that you wanted? Why don't you just continue doing what you're doing and get a couple insurance goals and have them on their heels, make them adjust to where, you know, then you have no choice. Okay, let's defend a little bit, but we've built enough a comfortable lead to where, you know, we don't have to just sit back and defend. And if we make a mistake, well, you know, that's what the insurance goals are for. And the way it was looking, I'm like, you know what, we kind of deserve to lose this game right now. And I think the 1-0 is very fortunate. And then, you know, we got back, we got the two goals scored on us, and I was just kind of like, you know what, this is kind of a deserving scoreline right now. I really can't be that upset. It's one thing if they're getting cheap goals, but they're really just like running over us. And then Donovan comes into the game, and all of a sudden, there's a pep in everyone else's step, and it seems like it seemed like, oh, look, now they're pressuring. Now they want the ball. I mean, now they're pushing forward.
30 seconds as soon as he got on the
pitch.
Well, as soon as
he got on the pitch, it looked like the morale just kind of picked up. Like, okay, here's our second wind. Yeah, here's our second wind. All of a sudden.
Because the crowd got excited.
I mean,
too.
I know.
Everything.
Right. I mean, I know there's extreme. There was extreme heat in the game. So I know you had like tired, weary legs. You're on the road.
I do think there was a water break in the first half.
Yeah, there was.
There was two water breaks on both halves.
Yeah.
That's why there was a 5-minute stoppage time.
So you have Donovan coming in. All of a sudden, you got these guys like, oh, wait a minute. Each guy got their second win. So, you know, I'm glad that Donovan, like, we had talked about it last week where, you know, maybe it's just the morale of everybody. Like, hey, he's back. You know, our old general is back. You know, this can only be a good thing. And it kind of seemed to have lifted their spirits. Yeah.
It does keep. I think it could continue doing it if he does perform when he is on the pitch. Like, I think if he does perform well, You know, in this last game, he looks way better than the first game for sure. I mean,
well, Bruce Arena had said
have the still of the game after the how he looked at the end of that game. Remember, Dave? I took like a little still frame, and he's just like, ugh.
Well, Bruce Arena did say that he's looking more and more like a soccer player now, and that he's training and, you know, he's starting to come around. So I got to ask, do you think come playoff time, he cracks the starting lineup and goes the full 90?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's no doubt he's going to go at least one game full 90.
Okay. One game full 90, maybe. I don't want him to be a starter at all. I think he is way more dangerous coming in late in the game with fresh legs. Super quick. He's like freaking Cobra coming in that way when like everybody's super slow and winded. And we don't need him for a full 90.
No, but you also have to remember that full 90 will go a long way toward his real fitness. Like the it's one thing to get like his substitute minutes,
but he wasn't signed to be the starter or the star, David.
No. I'm not saying I didn't say that, but what I'm saying is don't work up to that then.
There's no reason to work up to that point to try to make him a starter if he's not supposed to be a starter.
But if he's performing well and he earns a starting spot, why not give it to him? I'm not saying that that's what should happen or that's what's going to happen. But if he's performing well and he's doing well in training and he's providing, you know, that what the Galaxy was missing once he left, then why not, you know, and he earns a starting spot. You can't just say, well, that's not what you were brought in for, and then just not give him the starting spot. Like, if he earns it, why not? And that's what I'm asking. Do you think he'll get there?
I don't think he can. Right now.
But see, what I'm saying is, I think that once our playoff spot is locked up, which I think is going to be this Sunday against Seattle, then why not give him a 92, a starting spot and a 90 to work that fitness up, so that when he is used, as you said, in the playoffs, if he is used as the super sub off the bench, his fitness is that much more higher than, you know, than just getting a few minutes here and there in games. Like, he has to play 90 minutes to achieve that, like, extra gear that he has.
I think his fitness would be fine enough for just coming in the second half through training, through drills with the team. He doesn't have to be playing a full 90 minute in order to get his stamina and his strength back up to a good level. I just don't see, unless he's doing it on his own, I just don't see why emphasize such like a hardcore protocol for him to get to such a level when we have a team and we have a starting team. He wasn't brought in to be that, so why do that unless he's doing it on his own?
Why not exercise the best I think my argument is he's gonna come in and score hat tricks. I'm just saying he could use
I just feel like the lead in to this question is seeing him play for less than 20 minutes in two games, or maybe a total of 20 minutes to 30 minutes in two games, and that's too much of a leap. That's too much of a leap. He hasn't played that many minutes, so it's too much of a leap to think that way.
Well, that's what the question was.
It's too romanticized.
Well, that's what I'm not saying that should he go the 90 minutes. I was asking, do you think that they will utilize him for that 90 come the playoff time? I'm not saying that he should or he deserves it already. Well, I'm just saying, do you think Bruce Arena will use him for the 90?
Guys too, though. It depends on what's happening with their guys too. If people are injured.
So I vote yes. I think it's going to happen before the end of the season.
Honestly, I think he goes at some point. It might be even be the last game of the regular season, or maybe somewhere in the playoffs. I do think he gets to the full 90 at some point. I'm not throwing off a game.
He's gonna have a game. I'm just saying I just don't want to get all caught up into the romanticism. Like, oh yeah, he's gonna come in, then he's gonna start, and he's gonna take us to the playoffs.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, yeah, he should probably go, or he probably will go 90 minutes in a game. Whether he was good or bad in that game is a different story.
Nor am I saying that he's already earned that, because I don't believe he has. I'm just saying, well, Bruce Arena, is he working him up to the 90? Because he's trying to downplay the expectations, like, oh, you know what, like, we talked about it, expectations are low. That might just kind of be, you know, misinformation there, you know, like, oh, we're going to use him as a super sub. But, you know, based on the needs of the team, like, does he go the full 90? And that's what I was asking. I'm not at all romanticizing him. I'm not at all saying he's earned it. I'm not at all saying should be. It was a simple question. Right. Like, do you think at some point before the season's done, including the playoffs, will that be utilized? And that's all I said.
I think yes, because as Bobby just pointed out, we have our players, we have our team, but again, it would be useful to have a guy like that to have 90 minutes of game fitness in case the worst should happen, right. In case there's an injury. Imagine you have another injury to a major player that Donovan is a natural replacement for, and he's like 30 minutes game fit. It's, you know, I think they're working him up to 90, and honestly, I think he will get 90 minutes before the end of the season.
So, well, one thing, another thing I want to talk about was, and I already had mentioned it, about how we were completely outplayed as soon as we scored the goal. And it just kind of seemed like there was really no hustle, there was laziness, there was no pressure on the ball. I mean, at one point we were outshot like 19-1. I mean, granted, that one shot we went in, so I mean, that's, you know, that's the most important one. I think
the first half we did pretty well in the majority of the first half. The second half we broke apart a lot.
I think we did better in the first half than we did in the second, but I just feel like after that goal, it is just kind of, I mean, it goes back. I'm not sure if that's just Bruce Arena's style. Like, look, we get the one goal on the road, so let's just, we got what we came for, and then let's just sit back and defend, and then we fall behind. Oh, you know what? Let's just go get that other goal then.
No. My perception of the game was, I think they did really well in the first half until they made the goal, just like you're saying, and I think they just wanted to sustain to the half, and then when they got to second half, they got scored upon really quickly. They didn't expect that. That's just what really happened. And then again, they get the second goal scored on them again. They couldn't recover from that until, you know, the excitement and everything of Donovan comes in, and then they do that really great play, quick play that they weren't ready for, and we got our second tie. That's basically the game. And then we sucked really, like, we weren't able to attack at the end. That's just basically it. I think we just broke apart in the second half. That's all it was. The first half we did pretty well.
Kansas City's goal, I mean, we defended. Like, there was a time we weren't ready for. It was a
free, I mean, there was
based on a, go ahead.
In the first half, I think there was a good like 5 to 6, maybe 6 to 7 minute defensive work that our team was doing, that Kansas City kept trying to penetrate, and they were unable to do it for a very, very long time. And we were just defending, defending, defending. And then we were actually pushing them up the field, pushing them up the field. And you can see, you know, Keno, I don't know if it was Keen, I forget, but like people just calling, like, all right, let's go up now, because we're sustaining this. And I was very impressed, because we were sustaining it for a very long time. And that's why the first half to me really punches out to me that we did really well. I mean, around the few minutes before the half, yeah, it wasn't that great. We did have that timeout for the water break. And maybe coming back from that was kind of the breaker.
Yeah, you think that broke up our momentum?
Maybe. The heat, that, everything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing I was thinking is, you know what? What if they were just sitting back and trying to, you know, save some energy, knowing that, you know, we have to deal with this heat?
Or work up to defending a one-goal lead, because that's what's going to have to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I like I said, I just hate that mentality where we got our lead and we did it by pressuring and we're winning the midfield battle, but I'm going to relinquish all that just because I found what I was looking for instead of trying to find another one.
Right.
Yeah. So, again, I mean, I've never really understood that strategy. I don't think
this game was that way, though. I really don't think that was the – for me, I don't think that was the way it was brought on.
Do you think it was more a situation where Kansas City just started imposing themselves more on us?
Sure.
And limiting our ability to go forward?
But that's kind of what's expected if you're the road team. The home team's supposed to be putting their will against on the road team. So, I mean, we kind of expected that.
It's again, just exactly what I said. I feel like we dominated pretty much the first half until that water break. Then, like, we tried to sustain it just to get in to the half. And then when we came back the second half, they got their goals. They got their goals, and they're a team with they're at home. They understand that climate. They can power through it. We're tired. We're on our heels. And then, you know, we got our second goal because of that uplifting, excited moment.
Yeah, the spark.
Was done right away. That's why, too. But, I mean. Yeah.
So, at the end, I feel very fortunate that we got away with a point. I'm not really sure if it was deserving, so I'm going to take this point. You know, I will surely take this point and say, oh, we wanted a point on the road. Okay, we totally got away with one here.
Yeah, we could have totally not got that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like I said, I mean, the whole way through, I'm like, once we were down 2-1, I'm like, you know what? I can't really be upset. This is kind of a justifiable scoreline right here, you know, and Kansas City has been the better team. And, you know, when we got that, I mean, it did take the crowd out of the game as soon as Donovan shut them up. So, I mean, I think we're lucky to come over with a point. It's never, I don't think we've been too successful in Kansas City. So I think that's a pretty good point for us, even if it was a little lucky. So at the end of the day, we continue to be in second place in the West and in the Supporters Shield.
Now there's going to be the run.
That's baffling to me that we're still in the Supporters Shield.
Yeah, because just two episodes ago, we're talking about we've kind of lost everything and we're only shooting for MLS Cup. I'm still only shooting for MLS Cup. I'd rather just win that one.
No, and then the last episode, I was like, wait, we still have supporters? Like, we're going to have, like, a little mini tournament now for supporters.
Yeah, because you were even saying, like, oh, it's a race to the finish,
and MLS is rigged, and we got into that.
But well, excited. If MLS were rigged, Seattle wouldn't be down below the red line, and it wouldn't be FC Dallas up at the top.
Yeah.
So there's me debunking the MLS conspiracy theorists. But you know, I still feel like we missed an opportunity. Had we won
an RSL
City game,
an RSL, if we didn't,
if we had won the RSL game or the Kansas City game,
I always want to win the RSL.
Everybody else in the Shield race or that's around us tied last week.
We would have you look back at some, I mean, I'm sure every team has done this where they look back and, man, we dropped some point. New York, I'm looking in your direction. How many points did we lose out on with that last second goal? You can talk about the Montreal game. You could talk about the second game in Colorado. You can talk about the RSL game. There's so many games that you could, oh man, we lost. You add those 6 points, all of a sudden we'd be in first place by 2 points. And we'd pretty much be in the driver's seat. Like, it's up to us. We win the Shield. So every team has done that. I'm sure Dallas has done that. Colorado has done that. New York is, like I said, is definitely doing that. They probably would be
Toronto.
They would probably be in the first place in the Supporters Shield if they can hold a lead.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is around the time you look back and like, damn, look at all those points dropped. And that's why I said, look, you probably should be angry at these games in April, because come in September, October, you're going to remember them. They're just as important now than they are late in the season. And points are points.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But
everything gets so tight.
Yeah, and you have Colorado.
Breaking news, you guys. Oh. Breaking news. MLS, every game matters.
There you go.
We need more Van Dams.
We need more Van Dams. So we have Colorado in third place, 1 point behind us, but they have 2 games in hand. So more than likely they're going to leapfrog us unless they drop those 2 games. But I'm saying they'll probably leapfrog us. It's very possible that we still can win the Supporters Shield. We still have, what, 4 games left?
Yeah, we have Seattle. Yeah, we have 4. Houston, which, you know, should be an easy
You
play.
Would think.
And then 2 Dallas's.
And, yeah.
2 Dallas games.
So,
yeah.
I mean...
So technically, so me, we can.
So, oh, yeah. But hold on. But here's
the thing.
Here's
this is
the
why
scenario.
It's so exciting.
here's a scenario that I see happening. Those two Dallas games are going to be... The winners of those two...
Those are going to be the deciders.
The LA-Dallas series, the winners of those games might end up being Colorado. Because what if we tie both those games and Colorado wins their two games?
Yeah, and check out
frog both Dallas and us.
Yeah, check out Colorado's remaining schedule. So they have two more games on hand than us. So they have six games. They've got they got Vancouver this Saturday on the road, but I think they can pull a result. They got Portland at home. Then you got Houston out of the playoffs. Then you have San Jose not in the playoffs. Another game against Portland, who I think currently are outside looking in, I believe. And then you have another game against Houston. That's a pretty easy schedule.
That's an easy schedule. But
that's a very easy schedule compared to ours. We got to play Seattle, who fighting for their playoff spot, but I think we can pull out a victory this Sunday. Then you got the Houston game, so you would think that that's a victory. And then you got the two Dallas games, and we're looking at the first place right now.
Are the Dallas games back-to-back? Are the Dallas games back-to-back? I thought it was like Seattle, then
you just said
Dallas.
No. It goes Seattle.
Because you didn't name them yet, that's why.
No, it goes Seattle, Dallas, Houston,
that's what
Dallas.
I said right now.
So we're going
right
to be now. In Texas for the final three games of the season.
Yeah.
But it's a much tougher. Oh, well. We have a much tougher Texas schedule than Colorado.
Texas is coming to us for one of those
games. Oh, that's true. But I think what David said, I think Colorado leapfrogs us, and it could be very possible depending on, if we beat each other up, us in Dallas. I mean, Colorado can just pick up the scraps and just kind of go through. And I think
this over here.
Right.
Colorado just steps ahead right. in line.
They're just going to go.
They're just going to go like, around like, yep.
Let me get around you guys real quick.
You know what I think is really funny is that back in March.
I'm so mad at that.
Back in March when we gave up that last second goal to Colorado and we were all upset about it. And I said, look.
I stand by that.
Yeah. And I stand by that too. Like, you should have won that game. And we were saying, like, you don't lose to Colorado. And all of a sudden, they could be the Supporters Shield winners.
Yeah.
We thought they were, like, on the, they're going to be the bottom feeders. And all of a sudden, they're at the top. And we're like, but I still stand by that. We should have won that game because, again, you shouldn't be allowed to score in the last 20 seconds of a game. Sorry.
I mean, but, look, that sets up our whole season.
It does. Sets soccer up our games.
Whole season. Like, that's what our problem has been the whole season.
Yes, it's just maintaining the focus for the final, few minutes of the game because every minute matters. And remember, we're up two goals against RSL, and all of a sudden, we drop those 2 points. Add those 2 points now, and we're in a little better position. And like I said, you add all the points up throughout the season, and suddenly you're like, oh, crap. So, every team does that around this time, so it's not like,
Every sports fan.
Every sports fan. And yes, exactly.
Well, if we want to talk about sports fans and the history of sports or whatever.
I never said
do you guys, are you guys, are you guys?
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I want to talk about the galaxy.
Is this on the itinerary?
Yes. Are you guys familiar? Are you guys
we have an itinerary?
Are you guys familiar with the Dan Patrick Show?
It's behind you on the pin, the cork.
It's on the whiteboard. It's on the whiteboard, right? Oh, crap, I just erased it. The cork whiteboard?
I've been doodling on this thing, man.
I thought that was a dartboard.
Are you guys familiar with the Dan Patrick Show?
Yes, I am.
So, friend of the show, a friend of the Dan Patrick Show, I should say, Mr. Landon Donovan. Was on, I think, like 2 days ago, maybe. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, and Dan asked him some interesting questions. And I will say that Donovan did come out and give props to him and say, like, look, I like listening to your interviews with athletes because you like to ask, put athletes in uncomfortable situations and ask them questions that normal, like, that won't get the normal canned response.
Which is what a good journalist should be doing. Blah, blah,
blah. Right. Donovan pointed that out because Dan Patrick asked him if the U.S. national team called him and said, Landon, we want you to help him out. Help you guys. We want you to come and help us out.
I'm hating all these hypotheticals. Go on.
What would his response be? And he thought about it for a second, and he said, look, if he thought he could help the team, he would do it. He's like, of course he would do it if he thought he could help the team. So then Dan Patrick followed that up by asking him, what if Jurgen Klinsmann called him and said, Landon, can you come be part of the coaching staff?
You were going to do the voice and then you decided not to.
No, I didn't. Will you be part of the coaching staff? And again, Donovan paused and he said, you know what? If I feel like I had, if I could help the team, yes, he would do it. So, of course, Dan Patrick was disappointed that, you know, his response was, no, go to hell. But, I mean, you know, he, you know, I'm sure everybody's been asking him this question, you know, would he return to the national team? And his diplomatic answer was like, yeah, if I think I could help them, yes, I would come back. Whether it's in a playing or a coaching thing. But this isn't what I wanted to gauge your guys' reactions about. Although, Bobby, I see you're very... I visually can see your reactions. You don't need to tell me about them. They tell you. They tell me the whole story. as Dan was interviewing Donovan, one of the questions he asked, which I felt the answer was obvious, but he asked it and it made Donovan think for a minute. He asked him, he said, if he didn't have a son, would he come out, would he have come out of retirement? And his answer was simply, no, he wouldn't have done it. So this is 100% about having those shared moments on the field with his son. He talked about it last week, regardless of, like, he, you know, like, last week I felt like, you remember that scene in Rocky Balboa? Stop me if I've already explained this one to you guys. Bobby, do you remember that scene in Rocky Balboa where Rocky comes to...
Just kidding. Go.
Rocky comes to... Rocky comes to Pauly, and he tells Pauly, he's like, hey, I think I want to fight again. He's like, I still got some stuff in the basement. Do you remember that scene?
Which one is this one?
Rocky Balboa. The one where he fights.
They go downstairs in the basement?
Yeah, and he said, I still got some stuff left in the basement. So then he decides to get his fighting license and to come out of retirement and fight. Now, he didn't wipe the floor with this guy. He didn't win. He had a good showing. And I feel like this is what Landon Donovan's doing. He's not going to wipe the floor with anybody. He's not going to win. He's not going to be the superstar. He's just going to come out and be, and you know, not make a fool of himself, basically. He's going to come out and win respect again.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I want. That's why I get so annoyed with all the hypotheticals of, like, oh, USA team. Oh, this. Oh, that. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Let's just watch him play. Let him have his minutes here and there, and hopefully he will be a contribution in our championship year. Like, that would be awesome. But just fuck, man. Just chill the fuck out. That's all.
He's the after credit scene of a good Marvel movie.
I mean, I get it. He's back. I get it. He's back, and we gotta ask.
It's a big thing.
I get it. It's not my.
But I'm kind of with you. Like, when people were asking, you know, does he go back on the national team? I do roll my eyes at that because, like, well, he didn't make the World Cup squad. Why would he make it 2 years after retirement now that the actual team, for the moment at least, is on the rise?
He was playing really well before the World Cup. I don't think that had anything to do with his level of play.
It was the way he was handling his career and the way he decided to leave and have a sabbatical. And he even said that it was all of that.
He even said that he had made the decision to retire the beginning of that year of the World Cup.
Yeah, and so, you know, and Klinsmann's decision
was based on that.
He said he didn't. Well, I mean, that was part of it. I mean, remember that documentary that came out during during the camp was, I can't run at 100%. He said it on camera. He said it on camera, saying, I can't give 100%. And he took athletic players who were going to give 100%. Like, he kind of like, and I kind of feel
he shot himself in the foot.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and months before that, you know, we were, me and you and Lewis, for sure, we were talking about how, like, well, I definitely was getting annoyed that he, you, we, you can see when he was in a game and when he was not in a game. And
right,
like,
right.
And it was just really annoying. It's like, why are you on the
field,
dude?
But there was one thing that I was unaware of when I was criticizing him during that, you know, his sabbatical was he was battling, you know, depression. And it's something that we don't understand as a society. We think of, you know, someone like Dan Donovan, oh, well, what does he have to be depressed about? I wish I could create places with him, you know, like just cheer up, you know, like, oh, boo hoo hoo, look at my horrible life. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, you really don't know what's going on in his life. So
most people
when
can't
I found
get
out
off their
that
couch and run to the block.
And so,
think about,
you know,
doing what he needs to do.
Yeah.
To
so if that's what he needed to, if that's what he needed to do to, you know, make himself, you know, better. I mean, like I said, mental health is something that we just don't understand in this society. So, you know, I kind of took back my criticism. Like, hey, you know what? He had to take care of himself. You know, he wasn't being selfish. I mean, well, he was being selfish, but he had every right to do it, you know? And if that's one of the reasons why Clemson didn't call him, I mean, I kind of agree with him as well. I mean, you can't really bring a guy like that into the team when, you know, this is, you know, he's responsible for the entire team, not just one player.
Factors.
So, yeah, there's a lot of factors. You know?
That a lot of people did not want to see. They just wanted to go ahead and jump on a side and be angry and hate on Klinsmann for it, that decision. I think right away I was the only one saying, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so I know you guys are sick of Landon Donovan. Let's stop talking about Landon Donovan. I apologize for bringing up the rest of this, but you know,
sure.
let's move on and
have you, don't
did
see,
you guys see
the thing you don't see,
he,
listeners?
Does it, is that he's the one making the cape?
No, I know. I'm still sewing, guys. I'm still sewing. We'll talk
about
it next week when I'm done with the little gold frill.
I was about to say no, the listeners can't see your Hawaiian Landon Donovan shirt that you have on right now.
It's not a Hawaiian shirt that just says Landon Donovan. It's a Hawaiian style print of Landon Donovan's, mini Landon Donovan's, like a pattern of Landon Donovan's.
They should switch out that that game day poster that they have, that California looking Gerard one. The old one, yeah. That one's the one that I'm talking about is a nice one, but you put Donovan on that one, that fits a lot better. But yeah, the new game day poster sucks balls, people.
it's not as bad as the one that was like a few weeks ago where everybody looked like they had Down syndrome.
There was one, yeah, that I didn't like.
Yeah, it was real bad. Anyway, did you guys see Giovanni Dos Santos ESPN Deportes commercial?
No, I saw Cosmos commercial.
I saw
yes.
it on the thread.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a trick question. It wasn't Giovanni Dos Santos commercial. It was Cosmos commercial.
Nice.
So Cosmo and Gio are roaming around the halls of ESPN, and they steal somebody's ball off their desk, and they go around. They're dribbling around the ESPN offices. You know, Cosmo and Gio are just having a good old time. The space, our favorite space alien for, that supports the galaxy, and the minion. Until they run into Julio Cesar Chavez. Now, what does Cosmo do? He does what any good instigating mascot does. He just backs off and lets Gio deal with it. I'm just so happy that Cosmo gets some TV time. Like,
yeah.
He deserves it.
No,
the guy,
awesome.
The guy's awesome. I love him.
The,
it makes
the,
sense because ESPN uses mascots.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, that's what I was about to say. Like, the mascots that, you know, go into the promos and you know, into the ESPN ads like that, they're pretty popular.
They're
mascot.
Iconic.
Yeah.
They're
iconic in their sports, in their colleges, and the fact that Cosmo gets in here, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, I do think that,
which is,
I mean, it is biased, but he's the best mascot in MLS. I don't care what the, I don't care
what
that voting thing was.
So stupid, so dumb, so dumb,
yeah.
So stupid,
yeah,
so ridiculous,
so iconic, yeah.
Nobody, I don't see, I don't see that weird.
ESPN voted with their money here, okay? So we know who won.
With their money in production.
Hell yeah,
okay,
no one beats you, Cosmo.
One more. we taco you, Cosmo.
One more note
from me.
We need to find out when our posters, our Cosmo posters, are
they're done. They're done.
Dude, go get them.
They're done. Okay, I'll go get them.
Maybe I'll come over. Maybe I'll come over and then just go get them.
All right. Tomorrow. Sounds good. Maybe. We got our Cosmo posters framed, guys, right. Listeners.
Yeah.
You three guys listening.
We'll tweet it.
So one more thing. The Galaxy, this is Thursday night. We're recording. The Galaxy actually held their season ticket event tonight. Now, did we attend? Do you ask? No, we're here. We all have day jobs, so we did not attend. And I find it odd that they would choose to do a season ticket member event that's supposed to be like sort of a fan appreciation kind of thing on a Thursday night, on a weekday night. What's up with that, you guys?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Most of the events have happened on Sundays, right?
Like, right, yeah. Except for they had the Christmas party, which I thought was phenomenal. Again, I never want to have that again because that means we're not in MLS Cup. But... It was a good time, and the season ticket member event on a Thursday night like got sparse to Chivas USA level crowds, and it's kind of a disappointment that they would do that.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I saw the day, I knew that, you know, obviously I couldn't attend, and I was kind of disappointed in that. I also didn't understand the decision as to why you're doing this like on a weekday, in the middle of a weekday at that. It's just kind of weird. I'm not really sure who makes that decision or what was the motivation behind that decision, but I'm not really sure they thought that through.
Yeah, and what's disappointing to me is that the countdown has started to LAFC. And believe me, I think we've talked about this from day one with them. They're going to have more fans in the Galaxy. They're selling themselves as the anti-Galaxy. They're gonna be more popular. They're gonna be in the heart of LA. I've already known people who could care less about soccer start asking me about LAFC, and I'm like, and they've already declared like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a fan of that team. And I'm like, why? Like, there's no reason just because it's not the Galaxy.
No, it's because it's branded well, yeah. David.
They have a good logo.
It's branded well. They have the right types of owners.
And they have the celebrities.
Celebrities, the location. I've said this like before LA.
No, I know.
I've said this so many years ago.
Nobody's arguing with you. Nobody's arguing with you.
Just like...
But moves like this Thursday night season ticket member event go a long way in Galaxy fans feeling like the organization isn't trying that hard.
Yeah, this is what I told you a few months ago. I was telling you that Galaxy really needs to up their game up when LAFC comes out, because I don't think they do anything really that is super enticing. Like, they do nice things.
They do a lot of good things within communities.
Yeah,
like that.
But like nothing so sparkly as LAFC is going to end up doing,
right?
And it's going to be really hard to be pulled. Like, you know,
we just have our mascot in an ESPN commercial.
Yeah.
But
I mean, for a little while,
I feel like we're going to be kind of pushed off to the side. But it's only if they start
because it's the shiny new toy,
shiny thing.
Yeah, right. But they have to win.
If the product on the field is the same, and I doubt it will be. Completely different reason. That project, the Chivas USA project, was done for a completely different reason than what LAFC is about to do. LAFC is going to take their team seriously. They're going to take the league seriously. Well. Yeah. So
that's different. There is a big difference.
But again, it's going to depend on the product in the field. It's not going to be the same as Chivas USA. It will be a better product, but this is just the arms race.
But do you still think we're gonna see like a team that scrambles here and there because they're not exceeding as how they should be?
Well, the thing is that
I think they're gonna have their vision, and they'll execute it, and they'll try to stay as consistent as possible.
Now, I'm not really sure. I mean, New York already has this. They're pretty much the sports market, you're going to have LA for the most part. LA can have two teams and New York can have two teams. And right now it's New York who currently has the two teams. Now, I'm not sure what the culture is over there. I don't know what the atmosphere is. I'm not aware of that. I don't know anyone from New York to actually ask. But I kind of feel that...
Like, I wonder how the the original Metro Stars feel.
Well, no, not just so much that. You ask the Red Bull fans about how you feel about NYCFC coming in, and you ask NYCFC fans, like, well, how do you feel about the Red Bulls?
Or why were they never
Or why were they never Red Bulls fans? Or why jump on this one? I mean,
well, I think it's kind of the same. I think it's very close to what we're dealing with. Because, I mean, look at NYFC, they're in the heart. I mean, they're not even, they don't even have their own stadium.
Well, when you look at, when you look at the other, like the New York, like for example, the Mets and the Yankees, it's that's territorial. So, it's kind of like they're on different sides of, like they're not necessarily representing New York, it is, I don't even remember where Shea Stadium is now that I think about it. But I mean, and here you have the same thing, like over here, it's like, well, look, we're actually in LA. You're out in, Orange County somewhere or, push off to the side, So. Like I said, I don't really know what the culture is, and I don't even know if they're creating this arms race. But I have to feel that they kind of are. Look, New York, NYCFC is only in their second season and already like gonna make the playoffs. They're on the top of the East. They hired, after the first year, their coach was fired. Their coach was fired after the first year. That's pretty unfair. And then they hire another coach, and like, dude, we need to up our game because fuck the other guys are around, across the way. And I think that's what's gonna happen here. LAFC is gonna be the new shiny thing if they start doing this. Like, okay, you know what? You've got these players. You signed these players. You got the new thing. We're gonna come back and say, well, we just signed this guy, and we're gonna start rewriting these MLS rules again, as the Galaxy have done years. And you're gonna have this arm race because it's gonna come to a point where like we're trying to win the MLS Cup, but we're gonna try to run these guys out of it. And I think it's gonna go both ways. I think we're gonna try to one up each other, to be honest. I could be wrong, but I honestly believe that we're going to try to one-up each other in the process. Okay, once I've done that, let's focus on the cup. But I want to one-up these guys.
Well, I just want to see what Bruce has in store for us next season, because we need to get more young blood. I mean,
Well, we talked about it. You're probably going to have two DPs that are going to be open. We talked about, we probably should be working around Gio right now. News of Andres Guardado coming to Atlanta United is, that Gio effect that we're talking about. Can we get one of those young Mexican stars in their prime to come over here? And it looks like little by little, it's it's starting to happen.
Well,
they just had a big hire on their coach. I mean, that was actually kind of shocking to me. I think that's a great pickup for them. I'm not sure if they're going to, like I said, as an expansion team, I'm not sure how much damage they can do in that first year. But it's going to be a team that you're going to be watching out for, because they're trying to, like, make their moves. They're coming in with a splash. There's no reason why LAFC shouldn't be. I mean, they're already doing it. They're kind of already putting their stamp on the city. They're kind of, like you said, they're being branded very well right now.
They're branding it already. They're already They already have like sneakers. No, they don't. But surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they had like sneakers.
Damn,
you out
just
there
gave them the
like
idea.
Some
thanks
art
a lot,
gallery.
Bobby.
Damn. Pay me.
Just give them the idea. Yeah.
Pay me so that we can put it back into the funnel of LAFC. I mean, they were.
Oh! You are so fired, dude.
Oh man.
Oh, they're already doing it to me, you guys. No, never. No way.
Well, look, LA is our house. We'll be fair, but, as soon as they try to, like, step out of the little square that we're going to give them, it's over. We'll give them the little square. That's it. I'm going to drink all the haterade.
Yeah. But I am excited to watch a Galaxy game in their stadium.
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited for the, again, the level of, like, up, like, shit, we gotta outdo these guys.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm excited for that part.
One of the things I was
for the like the excitement.
We'll see.
One of the things that I'm
no more old galaxy, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm kind of looking forward to, or at least I hope happens, is that I don't at my job you have the in other sports, you have the UCLA crowd, you have the USC crowd, and we know who they are. We go back and forth during the season. The same thing with the Dodgers and the Angels. Same thing can be said around football. You know, pick whatever team you want.
I don't know if I want that to start, man.
But I actually would want – see, the thing is, at my job, I don't have another MLS fan. They know about the Galaxy.
They're going to be all
they're
LA
more
seen.
Informed.
You're going to be the only Galaxy, dude.
Yep. Yes. And you know, the funny thing is, I kind of hope – that I mean,
which
it's kind of
weird.
Unfortunate that it took another LA team to do this, but if they get interested in the league where I can actually banter someone and talk to them about the league and what's going
on. That's overall good thing, for sure.
I would love that because I have I don't have that right now. I have it with you guys.
Yeah.
That's what I have it with.
So sorry we're not enough.
This is your only help.
We
made a podcast for you.
Gosh. I'm trying to get other people involved. We got two listeners. Thanks, guys. Which doubles my, you know, people I can talk to.
Right. Yeah. Hey, it does.
So. All
right, guys. So, do we have anything else to say?
No, man. I think we said it all.
I know this podcast.
Seattle on Sunday.
Yeah, we have Seattle on Sunday.
A rambling podcast.
That's fine. That's what it's for.
That's what we're doing.
We have Seattle on Sunday. I unfortunately am not going to make the game.
I will be at the game. I don't know why I have a Sunday. I usually work on Sundays, but I have a Sunday off, so I'll take advantage of it.
Sweet.
And I could be there when the Galaxy officially clinch a playoff spot.
And I believe eliminate Seattle.
And can it?
Yes, I think we can eliminate Seattle.
That is just a win-win right there, guys. So you definitely want to be at that game. Or
hey, Lewis,
really,
if you go,
really
can I ride?
I'm not going to go.
If you go, yeah. Can I ride with you?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is a podcast. People don't know thumbs up when you.
Well, you're the only person that needed to see that.
But there's a recording that's happening right here. Because then it just sounds like, oh, damn.
Our listeners will never know if yes.
Did Bobby go to that game? Was Lewis being a jerk?
Was Lewis being such a dick?
Find out next time.
On episode 41. All right, guys. So you guys have anything else to say?
I'm good.
Lewis?
Yeah. I am also good. I'm just hoping we clinch that playoff spot. And if you guys see me or Bobby, I just gave away the ending to next
spoiler
episode.
We still don't know.
If you guys see us
just
there,
edit that part out.
Yeah. Say what's up to us by all means.
Say what's up. All right, guys. This is episode 41. LA is our house. Check us out on laisourhouse.com, Twitter. What's happening? These guys are.
This is episode 40.
This is episode 40.
Go to the future, man. It's episode 40.
More spoilers.
I gotta stop reading my screen when I'm recording. I just start saying things that are on the screen. All right, episode 40.
This
I know
is
that's
episode
true.
Episode ploopy ploppity.
Oh yeah, ploopity ploppity blue. All right, guys. LA is our house. Later.
Bye.
Bye, guys.